99.5. Hits Country is WKAA, Willow Creek, Valdosta, Georgia. A Black Crow Media Station.
That's back inside the 10, the 5. Touchdown, Vikings.
For Lounge High Viking Football, 99.5, Kicks Country. Lounge High Viking Football is brought to you by Austin's Cattle Company, Waller Heating and Air, Farmers and Merchants Bank, Star Insurance, Wachovia Securities, Hyundai of Valdosta, Smith Northview Hospital, Girard Jewelers, Benjamin Franklin Plumbing, Crystal River Seafood, Ace Electric, Auto Connection, Astro, Colson Business Systems, Old Times, and Cass Birch. You're listening to Lounge High Viking Football on 99.5 Kicks Country.
Good evening and welcome to Baysmore Hyder Stadium. It is Wintersville 2008. Wes James along with Bill Osborne and Marty Rogers on the sidelines. And boy, this crowd is starting to fill in already. Just a couple of technical difficulties. And of course, the always... the man of the hour, Clark Johnson, up here getting everything squared away and getting us fixed up and giving us a thumbs up and everything's good to go. And for all the trucks, everybody from Black Crow Media out in Drexel Park tailgating and having a good time. And, well, like I say, this crowd is starting to fill up here. Bill Osborne, it is going to be a big, big night for high school football here in Wintersville. It's being called Smackdown in Titletown.
Well, that's exactly what it is, Wes. It's been billed that. I thought you started it, but you said ESPN started it earlier. The Smackdown in Titletown. It's going to be a great night. Valdosta's come out, Wes, in all black. Just their gold helmets, black pants, black jerseys. Of course, our Vikings in the maroon pants and the white road jerseys.
And, Bill, of course, we see ESPN, their announcers. One of them didn't wear cowboy boots, bless his heart. They're play-by-play people down on the field talking with both coaches, trying to get some input on tonight's ball game, and it's going to be extremely big. Our Vikings come in ranked number one in the state, number two in the nation. And
Wes, let's check in with Marty down on the field. Just we're testing all the mics, make sure that we're all set and go. Marty, what do you see down there? Go ahead.
Marty, can you hear us?
I don't hear Marty.
Marty, can you hear us? He can hear us, but we can't hear him.
Turn him off. Hold on. There we go. Now get back on.
Can you hear me now?
We got you.
There we go. We got it.
And you're good right there where your mic's at.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. Guys, it's filling up down here. I'm dodging cords and dodging cameramen already. But you mentioned Valdosta is wearing all black, and that's the first time I've ever seen that. So a little ploy for them trying to pep up their team a little bit. But the stand's full. The student section's been here about 30 minutes, and they're already cheering for the cameras, so they were ready to play some football.
Marty, it was a little warm earlier this afternoon. The other season we were setting up and down on the field. How is it now after a little bit of shower came through?
Actually, it's very nice down here. You got a good breeze. I know y'all can't feel it in the booth, but there's a good breeze. And it's very, very comfortable. It's a great night for football.
Well, there's going to be a lot of exciting football right here in Titletown, USA. ESPNU is in. And for the folks at home, of course, you can turn your sound. You can turn the TV down and turn the radio up and catch all the play-by-play action with Bill Osborne and Marty Rogers and myself. And Clark's still trying to work out one or two little things there. And Bill?
We're just kind of testing what it sounds like. We're getting a little bit of fuzz around here, but that's really just, we think, just because of the enclosure of this metal building.
Well, Bill, it's a big, big game, the one we've looked forward to. You know, just one of the few games whenever you look at the schedule, you always circle this one because, you know, no matter what, it's going to be a big, huge game. Of course, it's the hottest ticket in town. Nobody can... It was, I think, 2,900 tickets was allotted to the Vikings, and so that means a lot of folks won't get to see this game tonight. And Valdosta's side over there still
about not even a third, half of the way full.
Well, again, it's their home stadium. When we're at Martin Stadium, we don't necessarily fill it up as quickly either. We all have the reserve seats. Everybody's out tailgating. Valdosta, you know, that's just kind of the way it goes. Lounge, we're ready to get in here. We know that the seats are a little limited. They are reserve seats over here for most of the fans, but a lot of them are general admission, so they want to get in here and get a good seat.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we'll take a look at stuff going on around the region. We're going to take a two-minute break. This is the Crystal River Seafood Pregame Show right here doing it live on 99.5 Kicks Country.
Viking football on 99.5 Kicks Country.
And we're back here at Bazemore Hyder Stadium. This is the Crystal River Seafood Pregame Show on Kicks Country 99.5. Bill Osborne along with Wes James and Marty Rogers on the sideline. Just a great night for football. The Wildcats here to our right. We're on the visitor side press box. The Wildcats warming up here to our right. The Vikings are starting to come out here now on the left, beginning to just get ready to get warmed up. We got a little different here tonight, and we're on a different kind of system, so we're kind of just getting used to it ourselves. So we've got a lot of good things going on tonight, a lot of things to talk about, a lot of things going on around the region. Some great football games tonight in Region 1-5A. Of course, one of the other big games going on this week tonight is the Coffee High Trojans, and they host the Northside Warner Robins Eagles. And that really is probably, to me, one of the best games coming up tonight in Region 1-5A outside of this ball game.
Well, I agree with you, Bill Osborne. As you were talking about earlier, Coffee has played the lower side of the region, the lower tier, if there is such a thing in Region 1-5A. Let's find out look at there, Bill. There comes number 24 trotting out on the field.
Yeah, there he goes.
And looking at all our players. And anyways, but they played the lower tier. Let's see what they do now when they play somebody, say the upper tier, as we call it, North. And that'll tell us a lot about Coffee. It'll tell us a lot about how the region is going to shape up in the next couple of weeks.
Well, Coffee now, ranked number 8 or 9, depending on which poll you're looking at. They really do have their work cut out for them tonight against the Northside Eagles. Of course, after we saw them last week, I've got to say, Northside has got to be one of the toughest teams in the state.
And it'll be interesting to see how Northside rebounds after a loss, having to come back. They've never, in the last 3 years, they've not had to do this, suffer a loss and then come back the next week and play.
Yeah, and you almost feel sorry for Coffee having to face them in that kind of situation. But like you said, that's really going to determine a lot of the character of the Coffee High Trojans.
But on the other hand, they are playing over
in Coffee,
so that'll be a big plus for them over there.
Who's your pick?
Bill, I've Northside Warner Robins.
I think so, too. I think Northside, we saw from a defensive standpoint, I really think they shut them down.
Tiff is home tonight against Colquitt. Tiff 4-2 on the year, 2-1 in the regular season. Colquitt 3-3, 0-3. Like what Coach Prost is doing over at Colquitt, I just don't think they're up to par to match with the Blue Devils after we saw them.
Well, I tell you, I've been saying for the last couple of weeks that Coach Prost is going to have that team. Light's going to come on, and that offense is going to begin to click. Well, it started last week. It doesn't continue this week against Tiff County. It's really going to be a great ball game tonight. Unfortunately for the Blue Devils, it really is an unknown. You're working against a system that you haven't seen a lot of. You can watch some film, but some of the guys are going to begin to understand the system a little bit more, and they're going to be ready to play in a different kind of way. It could come down to a touchdown either way, but I've got to go with the Blue Devils.
Warner Robins and Houston both off tonight, just the way the schedule worked out, because next week, Lounge, Valdosta, Northside, Warner Robins, Coffee, and Colquitt all will be off, and Warner Robins and Houston will be playing. They'll be playing each other next week, but for tonight, they are off tonight. I mean, that's Houston and Warner Robins. And real quickly, the other games around the region, Berrien County, their home versus Fitzgerald. Brooks County, 4-1, 2-0 on the year. They are at Early County. Clinch County will be at Lanier. And boy, what a ball game that'll be over there. Those two schools very close together. Cook County, 2-3 on the year there at Mitchell, 1-4. Thomas County Central, 4-1. 3-0 in their region. They're at Lee, who is 0-6 and 0-3. Thomasville, 1-4, 1-1 on the year. Their home versus Albany, which is 2-3 and 1-1. And tomorrow at 4 o'clock, the Valdosta State Blazers looking to rebound. I'm sure David Dean has got them up, got them ready to go. Be at Henderson State in Arkadelphia, Arkansas for a 4 o'clock kickoff with the legendary voice of the Blazers, Dick Rocky. Tom Odom's on the sidelines, and I'll be in the booth. In fact, we're flying out about 10 o'clock in the morning, flying over and bus up to Arkadelphia.
I was going to say, we're sitting here staring at about 7:30 on a Friday night, and you got a 4 o'clock game in Arkansas. I was hoping you were going to fly.
Well, as Coach Hatcher called them, he called them the commando raids. You fly over, play, and come home, and then go over and take no prisoners and come back. And it's a game that last year the Blazers found themselves in a very similar situation, lost to Delta State, then came back and run the table and a national championship. Well, we do not have a student this week, but however, we do have got a chance to sit down with Coach McPherson on the White Brother Otto's Coach's Corner and sit down with Coach McPherson and get his thoughts on tonight's ball game. Here's Coach McPherson.
We're here with Coach McPherson on the White Brothers Auto Coach's Corner. And, Coach, one word, Wintersville.
Sure, big game every year. Very exciting. You know, all the folks around here know how big it is. Boy, it's always a ball game.
Coach, Valdosta 9-3 last year, and, of course, this year 4-2, 1-2 in the region. A very good football team, and, of course, the senior Kyle Rowe throws the ball well. He runs the ball well. We talked about it Tuesday night, and they have just a load of offensive weapons.
They absolutely do. They do a fine job. Well coached. Size, speed, they're going to be tough.
Coach, defensively, of course, the linebacker headed up to Georgia. Mike Gilliard, 6 foot, 206 pounds, 4.5 speed. I'm talking with some other folks, he's probably the best linebacker that we have faced all year.
He really is. You know, Mike's a good kid and plays hard. He's going to be, you know, hard to block. We got to be able to block the people up front. You know, they're going to come after us. We're just going to have to execute.
Coach Parker Mathis, defensive tackle, 5'8", 230. We talked about it Tuesday night. Seems like he's been there forever.
It really does. I'd like to know. I'm sure. I think he's played over there at least the last 3 years. He's a good player, good solid, you know, player.
Coach, big game on television. Of course, we're playing here at Bazemore Hyder tonight, and wish we could be back in the confines of the Concrete Palace. But you play and play where they get scheduled at.
Yeah, we like to play anywhere. You know, it's a nice facility over here, and our kids certainly have played a lot of games in there. You know, throughout the years, like going all the way back to seventh grade. So you know, we're ready to go.
Coach, how's practice been this week?
Good week of practice. Everybody's focused. They're ready to go.
Any talk of being on the ESPN? The boys are that much aware of it? Or?
No, we don't talk about that. You know, last week was our first game on national TV, and other than seeing the cameras down there, you know, you don't really know that. I mean, once the game starts, it's a football game.
Coach, good luck to you, and we will see you Tuesday night at Loco's Deli and Pub to talk about another great Lounge High victory.
Valdosta's home for Lounge High Viking football. 99.5 Kicks Country.
Back at Bazemore Hyder Stadium, Wes James along with Bill Osborne and Marty Rogers patrolling the sidelines. It is the 2008 Wintersville Classic, and you look at Valdosta 4-2, 1-2 in the region, a game that you would say that they have to have. They couldn't afford to lose this ball game, but that's going to give them three losses, and they still got a tough schedule as our Vikings white jerseys, maroon pants, maroon letters. I don't know, maybe when it was moved just a little bit that way, it was maybe a little bit better. But
we're just going to deal with it. As long as it's coming out to the folks listening at home and out in Drexel Park. What a great time out there in Drexel Park today.
Well, I tell you, it was out there. Sonny's Barbecue was out there, and there was a lot of folks out in Drexel Park today. The U.S. Army was out there. I can say Sonny's Barbecue, boy, they've got a new called pulled chicken sandwich, and that was really good. And with some beans, my buddy Adam gets some.
Speaking of food, what'd you have on Thursday?
Well, I got to say hello to my buddy Adam from Anytime Fitness. He's listening to us. He says, I hadn't talked to him in a while, and he's listening to us, and got the sound turned up. So there you go, Adam. I said hello. He said if I didn't, he was going to come in and make a scene inside the stadium.
Okay. Well, but, of course, we want to thank our sponsor here for the pregame show, Burger Seafood on St. Augustine Road. Just a great, great time at lunch on Thursday, as always. And I tell you, if you get an opportunity, stop by Crystal River Seafood for lunch. There's not a lot of really nice where you can sit down restaurants to have lunch at. And Crystal River Seafood is one of those places. And one of the great things, and I know it's become a favorite of yours, is that they really take care of you, not just the service staff being there quickly. But however you want your food cooked, they're more than willing and happy to take care of it.
Well, and I had you're talking about having, tell us what you had.
Oh, I had the shrimp and fish, and well, actually, I ordered scallops and fish, and they brought me shrimp, and then were apologized and brought me scallops anyway. So I had shrimp, scallops, and fish. It was excellent.
And Marty had shrimp and fish, and my wife has put me on a diet, so I had salmon.
There you go.
And, of course, what she does know is I had salmon, but I had a little side order of scallops. I split them with Marty, but I had a little side order of scallops. She just kicked me, Bill.
Yeah, that's it.
I put her there. They're giving away a chance to win them. There's a chance to win a minivan. You register, and they're going. I think they're going to select one winner, and you got to kick a 30-yard field goal. And, anyway, I've got her signed. The way she kicked just then, I need to go down and put her name in the box.
She might be able to kick that field goal. I do want to thank Keith. Keith is probably across the way. He might even have a headset on, and he's listening to us, I'm sure, over there amongst his friends, the Wildcats. And we wish him the best tonight. But thank you to Keith and Stacy and everybody there at Crystal River Seafood. It is a great place to stop and have lunch, dinner, anytime. Crystal River Seafood. They put more food on your plate than your mama does. And tell them, Wes and Bill sent you.
There you go. Bill, let's take a quick look at the rankings. I've got the AJC, and I know you've got the coaches poll. And the Atlanta Journal poll, I'm ranked number one, of course, is our Lowndes Vikings. Ranked number two, Camden County. Number three is Noonan. Number four is Grayson. Number five is Walton. Number six is Northside Warner Robins. Coming in at number seven is Harrison. And at eight, Coffee County. Number nine is North Gwinnett. And at number 10 is East Paulding.
Over in the coaches' poll, it is the Lowndes High Vikings at number one, Camden County Wildcats at two, and in the three spot is Noonan, followed by Walton. Northside, they drop to number five. Number six is North Gwinnett, followed by Grayson, Harrison, Coffee, and then finally at number 10, East Paulding.
And Bill, just bear with me just a second. Bill, you've got some national polls for us.
Yeah, I do. One of the things that we've been fortunate enough that we take an opportunity to look at the national polls because the Vikings are ranked in those national polls. Of course, tonight, ESPN is here. They'll be broadcasting from the booth just above us. And the ESPN Rise, the national poll there, has the Vikings ranked at number two in the country behind Trinity out of Texas. That is the highest ranking that we have in any of the national polls. Also in that ESPN Rise 50 is also Camden County down at number 13 and Northside Warner Robins at number 48. In the Prep Nation poll, the Vikings come in at number four, still behind Trinity out of Texas, but also above them is Bryan's High School out of Duncan, South Carolina, and St. Thomas Aquinas out of Fort Lauderdale. In the USA Today poll, they have the Vikings are at number eight, and one of the other teams locally around here ranked in the USA Today top 50 is Madison County out of Madison County, Florida, the Cowboys. What a great football team they are. The Rivals.com has the Vikings ranked at number seven. Again, we still seem to be falling behind the school out of South Carolina, Trinity out of Texas, and St. Thomas Aquinas out of Fort Lauderdale. And that's your national polls.
Bill, I'm just of interest to some of our folks listening, some of the other teams around our area that is ranked in the AAA poll, Cairo. In AA poll, Fitzgerald, Cairo's number one in the AAA poll. In AA, Buford is number two. Charlton County is number six. Maurice Freeman's Woods County Trojans are number nine. And in the Class A poll, Clinch County, number three in the Class A poll. And I tell you what, let's take another two-minute break. When we do, we'll come back and we'll talk about tonight's matchup and some of the key things we'll be looking at here in the 2008 Winnersville Classic, the SmackDown in Titletown. We'll be back after this two-minute break. You are listening to Lowndes High Football on the Crystal River Seafood pregame show on 99.5 Kicks Country.
Well, that's all for Lowndes High Viking Football. 99.5 Kicks Country.
We're back at Bazemore Hyder Stadium. Bill Osborne along with Wes James and Marty Rogers on their sideline. and still finishing up the last few minutes of the warm-ups. One of the great things they're doing out here on the field right now, Wes, is they're talking about iHigh.com giving out the top scholar athlete for both teams. Kyle Rose is the top scholar athlete for the Valdosta High Wildcats with a 3.9 GPA. And for our Vikings, it was Mark Willis with a 3.956 GPA. And both of those young men get a $500 scholarship from iHigh.com. And congratulations to Mark Willis and to Kyle Rose for the Valdosta Wildcats.
Bill, for conversation's sake, we played on national television last week.
Yep.
This game, for all practical purposes, is worldwide because ESPN can be bounced all over the place.
Yep.
I wonder, since we've already played on television, if maybe the thought of playing on national television for the Wildcats is putting additional pressure on them. What would you think?
I don't think so. I think that as a rule, Valdosta's used to a lot of the publicity. Now, granted, over the last few years, they haven't had this kind of publicity. And just like Coach McPherson said yesterday when we talked to him, was that, you know, it really doesn't matter. Once you get in between the lines and you kick the football off, you forget all about the cameras. And as long as they're not in your way, you don't even think about it. And I'm sure that the Wildcats will think about this the same way. It really comes down to, it's not the television. It's the matchup. It is the SmackDown in Titletown. It is Wintersville Classic. And that's all you have to say, Wintersville. And these young men, and we'll talk about it Tuesday night when we have all the seniors at Locos on the coaches show on Tuesday night. I will just about tell you that every one of those young men, those seniors, probably 99% of them will tell you their favorite game is the Valdosta game every year.
Bill, let's talk a little bit about the matchup. First of all, let's look at Valdosta's offense against our defense. Kyle Rowe, the 6'2", 285-pound senior, he throws the ball well. He is a decent runner. He can hurt you if you don't contain him. And he's got a good sophomore running back, Phillip Moore, who has stepped up. Of course, Chad Crane at fullback. And of those two, make a formidable duo, because we know Chad Prain from baseball.
Sure.
We know Kyle Rowe from baseball. We know what these guys can do. Why do you think that I formation, that power out I like to run, how do you think that's going to do against our Viking defense?
Well, one of the things that we'll traditionally do is we'll run that five-man front on the defensive line. And that's going to give us the best advantage. Now, the tendency will be to go to a nickel or even a dime defense when you're in a passing situation. But these two guys can run the football, and your quarterback can run the football. If you leave them a hole, they're going to exploit it. I've got to say that you're going to see a lot of five-man down front on the defense, and we're just going to play a base defense most of the night. Unless you're in a really third and long, you might go to a nickel-type defense. But I think we match up pretty well with them.
And then, of course, you've got a tight end, Jay Rome. Boy, do we remember him from basketball, and he's really stepped up. And then, again, he's got some good wide receivers. Number 8, 6'3", 200-pound Dontavious Sapp. And number 15, Travis Belcher, 5'10", 175-pound senior. And with 4.4 speed, Bill. Now, this guy, he's a track athlete also, but 4.4 speed. He can pick them up and put them down.
Well, that's one of the things that I think ESPN television is going to see tonight is the speed on both of these football teams. And that is one of the things that Florida is known for, but so is Region 1. I had somebody tell me that watching the game last week that one of the first things they noticed was just how fast the Vikings were against Northside. Northside has some speed, but not as many speed demons as we have necessarily across the board. And that was the thing that was most noticeable for CSS last week. And I believe ESPN is going to see the same thing tonight, and that is just the team speed.
Bill, on the offensive line, Antonio Foster, 6'4", 285-pound. This guy has already, I said he's been recruited by most everybody in ACC and SEC. He has already committed himself to the University of Tennessee. In fact, we're going to see four Division I players on this field tonight, two from each team. And you'd be looking at what Antonio Foster lines up on that right side to see how well he does against our defensive tackles.
Well, I tell you, the defensive guys are really going to have their hands full with this offensive line for the Wildcats tonight. And what we're going to have to see is the kind of play that we saw last week against Northside, and that is that front, that middle, it's the defensive tackles and the nose guard. They're going to have to do their jobs. Our defensive ends are going to get their opportunities to get around the ends and maybe force that ball up into the middle. And that's where these three guys are going to have to step up right there in the middle. And that's, of course, Henry Harden, Little Bear, and leaving some Rich Spivey is really going to have to step up right there in the middle of the line. And hopefully be able to block that middle up, let our linebackers come up and make some tackles up the middle, and let our defensive ends just do what they've been doing, and that's contain the outside.
Bill, we're going to go down on the sidelines real quickly if I can see where Marty's at.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there, we got you.
Marty, he's got a couple fellas down there, and Randall Godfrey. And who else you have, Marty?
We also got Jeff Thomas down here, two of Vidoska's greatest alumni, our Lowndes County's greatest alumni. They actually grew up watching the play. Okay, Lounge, and we're going to go for a few minutes. Randall, I know you were down here for the Titletown thing. Can you tell us a little bit about what you thought of Titletown and this Wintersville Classic tonight?
Started that interview, and I told the nation, I said, hey, man, you got to figure out a way to get this thing nationally televised.
I totally agree with you, Randall. Jeffrey, I haven't seen you in a long time. I know you play basketball and football here. What's your thoughts about this Wintersville Classic? What do you think is going to happen tonight?
The outcome?
Around this right here. Well, guys, I appreciate y'all speaking with us. Y'all enjoy the game. Just pull them home.
Thank you, Marty. Appreciate it. Great to be able to be down there on the sidelines, talk to these guys, just kind of hanging out.
You guys know I don't believe so. I think we're supposed to take the field. I'm not real sure.
Well, they might be waiting to go 0-0 on the clock for ESPN to tune in and catch the Cats running out on the field.
That could very well be it, because I know they come on at 8, so they're probably waiting on that. That's a good point.
Well, I guess if it was at our house, we'd be doing the same thing.
That is correct.
All right. The cheerleaders now out running for Valdosta. And you hear the noise in the background, the band for the Valdosta Wildcats. And I think, like I said, if it was at our place, you'd want to make it dramatic as well.
And they're holding them. There they go.
No traditional run-through like a banner like what we run through, but they do run out in force, and they do look intimidating in the all-black.
Well, and they're running from one. They ran from one end zone to the other.
Our Vikings already on the sideline. Our kickoff receiving team not in place on the field, but standing there with Coach Langford, and of course, Coach Langford, the special teams coach, getting his charges ready.
Waiting for the Wildcat band as they make their exit out of the west end zone.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, one thing about it, there's as many media here tonight as there was last week. The sidelines are just as full, if not more full than last week. One thing that I heard y'all comment on is the fans, the Viking fans on the left, about off the side. That is the first time I've ever seen that. I've been coming to games here ever since I was
4 months old.
4 months old, exactly. I've never missed the Wintersville Classic, and I've never seen them wear black pants and black jerseys, and I've never seen Lowndes fans on the Vidoska side. It's a little change of the sign of the times there.
Well, obviously, they didn't sell all their allotment of tickets, and it's about selling the tickets, and as Coach McPherson says, it's about putting behinds in the seats, and that's exactly what the Wildcats want to do here at Bazemore Hyder Stadium. So those 350 seats right there in that section, glad to have them. And I know they're excited to be here because this was a hard ticket to get this week.
It sure was. I know, folks, I had folks calling and started calling 2 weeks ago, can you get me tickets? And I said, I get in because I'm to the radio broadcast. And, in fact, even today, folks were calling, hey, is there any tickets available? And there are no tickets available for this ball game.
There were a few individual fans I saw different sports events today that had one, two. In one case, the guy had four tickets, but those are rare and they're hard to find. But nonetheless, I believe every seat here is filled on this side of the stadium.
Bill, they got the clock at 1 minute, so I guess we're within 1 minute of going airtime or whatever for ESPN, so that the red hat is not on, but he's looking up.
He's looking up at the broadcasters. And again, the folks, they're going to be right above us. So if you're watching television, listen to us on the radio. They're going to be filming from this side. So like it was last week, we were looking at the back of the officials giving the penalties and that kind of thing. Tonight, we'll get to see them from the front.
Unless he goes to both sides, which he could do.
I was surprised they didn't do that last week. I know you mentioned that you thought they might.
Well, Bill, going back deep to receive is Tyler Hunter, Greg Reed, number two, Corey Franklin, up man, number three, Darius Howell, along with Lee Lewis. On this side, Marcus Solomon. And Bill, look, we've got hands people up front.
Yeah, looking for anything that might be unusual.
Set to kick is number 89, John Mark Stevenson.
And we'll be ready to get the SmackDown in Titletown underway.
And the referee is checking everything. They've got the clock set. There it is. Clock set to 12 minutes. Backs up. Clears. Official steps out of the way as Stevenson comes to the ball.
And now with all the action, the voice of the Vikings, Wes James.
Thank you, Bill Osborne. Stevenson's foot, ball's on the ground. Lee Royce picks it up at the 25, comes to the near side, there's a block, cuts inside one man, gets almost back there. He does get to the 30-yard line. They kept it out of the hands of Greg Reed, and Lee Royce has the ball at, will return the ball from the 25 up to the 30-yard line, and that's where our Vikings will take over first and 10 from there.
Having a good hands fullback like that in Lee Lewis, he's able to give you a couple extra yards after he picks the ball up. All right, Wes, that Mayflower Movers return trip back in. Everybody's out there tonight.
Cats in a four-man front. Walk one linebacker up on the outside. Two linebackers up tight, man in motion. Keep it. Corey Franklin throws out the flash to Greg Reed. He's at 35, the 40, the 45, the 50. Still on his feet at the 40. He's at the 30. It's a foot race to the corner. Will he make it? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Touchdown, Vikings. Touchdown, Vikings.
I see you, Greg Reed. And, Wes, we talked about where they're going to throw the football. If it's there, Coach McPherson will take it. And tonight, just a little dump pass out to Greg Reed. Greg Reed takes off down our sideline, makes a little cut back across the middle, and from there it's just pure speed and a touchdown Vikings to start this football game. Checking Mark into the lineup now is Mark Willis along with Cole Parker and Dalton Jackson.
Waiting for the snap. Willis. Snaps. There's a snap. Ball down, kicks up, and it's good. And with 11:31 to go here in the first quarter on the very first play, let's take a 60-second break. You're listening to Lounge High Football on 99.5 Kicks Country.
The Vikings play here. 99.5 Kicks Country.
Back at Faithmore Hyder Stadium, Mark Willis set to kick off. Back deep is number five. That's Willie Graham. On our side, Bill, I can't, would be Terry Belcher. And I don't have a number in the middle. That's 25, it looks like. LaShawn Johnson. Ball goes deep and sails into the end zone. Touchback. Cats will take over first and 10 from their own 20-yard line.
Well, Wes, those folks that just tuned in thought they were going to catch the beginning of the game. You missed the first play. A, golly, 70-yard touchdown pass from Corey Franklin to Greg Reed, and our Vikings 7-0 here early in the game with 11:31 left in the first quarter.
And, in fact, that's Corey Franklin's first touchdown pass of the year.
Right.
Here come the Cats. Kyle Rowe brings Dante Sapp out to our side. We've got Tyler Hunter on him. We're in a five-man front. Moore at tailback. Then they give it to Chad Crane up the middle. He crosses the 20, and he'll pick up 2 yards out to the 22-yard line.
That front, that looked like Henry Harden able to trip him up right there as he picked up just a couple of yards. That'll give him about almost 3 yards. A little over two, it looks like. I was looking across the way for the down marker there on our side.
Throw goes under center, tight end to our side, gives it to the tailback. Oh, hit at the line of scrimmage. Still on his feet. Good move. Bail in there by Vishon Johnson.
That was Little Bear Simmons. Little Bear just knocked him and was able to hold him up long enough for Gerald Demps and Henry Harden to get in there and make the tackle.
Ball out to the 25-yard line. Be third and five from there.
Go ahead.
Throw in that old Kansas City huddle that the Chiefs started. They bring Sapp to our side. Line a tight end up. They're running two tight ends out of the I formation. Rowe takes the snap, drops back the pass, rolls right, looking, here comes the rush, gets chased by Harden, heads towards, tries to get out of bounds, but he tries to get across the 30, only gets back to about the 25 before we run him out of bounds.
Little Bear Simmons just was hot on his heels. Kyle Rowe had to run out, no place to throw the ball, and Tyler Hunter comes up and just tattoos him right there about the 25-yard line.
Troy Braswell goes back deep with Greg Reed standing back about our 40-yard line. Stevenson, the punter, standing back at their 11.
After this punt left, get Marty's take on that hit over there. I don't know how close he was to hearing that.
We've got 8 men on the line of scrimmage. There's a snap kick, high kick, heads towards the sidelines. Braswell takes it at the 40, comes near side, across the 45, gets hit and pulled down from behind by a Wildcat as he gets across the 45 up to about the marking down at the 46-yard line.
Marty, what end of the field are you on? I don't know if you heard that hit from Tyler Hunter.
I did, guys. As a matter of fact, I'm down here right in front of it. Vados actually had Rome open there for a few seconds. It was a quick second, but our quick secondary covered it up and made Kyle run it, and it was a pretty good lick right here on the sidelines.
9:27 to go here, first quarter. Vikings leading 7-0. Let's take a 60-second break. You're listening to the Lounge High Football Broadcast on 99.5.
Well, dust us all for Lounge High Viking Football. 99.5, Kicks Country.
Back at Baysmore Hyder Stadium, Wes James with Bill Osborne, Marty Rogers patrolling the sidelines. 9:27 to go, first quarter. Vikings lead at 7-0. Scored on the very first play of the game, a 70-yard touchdown pass to Greg Reed from Corey Franklin. Franklin brings the cast to the line of scrimmage. They bring 8 men, 7 men up on the line of scrimmage. Franklin, South Texas shotgun, now goes under center. Tied into our side. And we give it to Gerald Dent. He's on his feet as he crosses the 50, across the 45, into Wildcat territory, down at the 42-yard line.
Just right at about a 10-yard gain, maybe almost 11 for a first down run. And I think he would have still been on his feet. He kind of tripped over his own feet as he made the cut right there.
Ball on the near hash marks. Vikings going from right to left on your radio dial. We send C.J. Moore to the far side. In the backfield is Robert Anderson, Greg Dents, and Gerald Reed. Tied into our side. Franklin goes under center. Four-man front for the Cats. Cornerback walks up on the outside. Franklin keeps it, drops back to look. Pressure throws out to C.J. Moore at the 40. And a good open field tackle out there at the 35-yard line, Bill, by number 25, Vishon Johnson.
Wes, that's two passes tonight.
And we hadn't seen but one run. Run three plays. The ball down to the 34-yard line of the Cats. Second and two from there. 8:44 to go. Vikings lead it 7-0. Thomas Rump comes in. The ball now at the far hash mark.
Looks like Greg Reed, Anderson, and Demp still your backs out there.
It's a full house here at Baysmore Hyder Stadium. The Mayflower Moving Company, the return trip, comes to the line of scrimmage. Tight end to our side. Greg Reed on our side. Corey Franklin under center. Cats still in the four-man front with three linebackers. The ball on the ground. Franklin picks it up. Still on his feet. He crosses the 30. And he'll be hauled down from behind, but he'll pick up a first down to the 25-yard line. Great play by Corey Franklin. Took the ball, came out from under center, dropped it, picked it up, and then went around the right side. Got a good block out there from Thomas Rump.
Good heads-up play by Corey. Just like you said, he was able to pick the ball up, And once he got around the corner, he just would continue to pull. I mean, he had a guy on his back and probably pulled him another couple of yards before they were able to bring him down. But again, enough for a first down for the Vikings. Keeps it going.
Jamie Cornelius brings the ball, brings the play in. And he'll go to tight. We'll run double tight ends. Anderson in the backfield, Reed to his left. Strong side right. Five-man front now for the Cats. Now they walk a corner back up on the outside. Reed with the ball on the outside. Stop. Oh, it's hit behind the line of scrimmage. And he'll lose a yard. Cats saw that one coming and played good defense.
Well, whenever we've done that strong side right or left, and we've tried to pull somebody in there right behind it, they've been able to kind of bust that through a little bit. And it only takes one guy to go through it, and he'll break that up a little bit. Unless we can bounce it out to the outside even beyond that, or try to go something like a naked bootleg on the other side.
7:22 go to first quarter. Vikings leading 7-0. And it is 2nd and 11. The ball back about the 26-yard line. Franklin goes under center. Solomon comes to our side. Somebody jumps. There goes Flags.
Lane Grant just got bowled over.
The legal procedure against our Vikings, so instead of 2nd and 11, it's going to be 2nd and 16.
One of the offensive linemen had to move just a little bit. When he did, he went right over Lane Grant.
Solomon brings the play in from the sidelines. Gives it to Franklin. Ball on the far hash mark. There is Howe, far side, tied into our side. Gerald Dempsey motion towards us. Give it to Anderson up the middle. What a hole! As he fights his way. Oh, he got slung from behind all the way down to the 20-yard line, Bill.
Just a great run by Robert Anderson. He just kept his feet moving, and that's the sign of a good running back. And, of course, at that fullback position, that's exactly what you need. Once you break through that line of scrimmage, just keep those legs turning. They twisted him around. He pushed himself backwards for another couple yards. And, of course, down at the 20 now, a third down for the Vikings.
And that's 11-yard run by Robert Anderson from the 31 all the way down to the 20. And we've still got third and five to go. Got to get just inside the 15-yard line. C.J. Moore comes near side. Jordan Black tied into the far side. Anderson at fullback. Four-man front. Three linebackers. Now a corner walks up on the outside on our side. And we give it to Anderson. Nope.
Kari keeps it,
and he'll get back maybe to the 20-yard line, Bill. And it'll be fourth down from there, and here comes the field goal team.
Mark Willis is hit from 31 and 32 yards this year. Missed a 49-yarder, just pushed it off to the right, had plenty of leg. Let's see where they're going to mark this down, about the 28-yard line. So it'll be a 38-yard field goal attempt, or 37.
Give him a 38-yard field goal attempt. Dalton Jackson, the long snapper. Cole Parker to hold. Somebody moved.
Left tackle moved, guys. Left tackle jump.
And we're going to have to back it up 5 yards. And we're still going to go for it.
Now they're going to set it down about the
38. So it'll be a 48-yard field goal attempt.
That's exactly right. Where he missed one the other night. He's got plenty of leg. Let's see what he's got.
There's a snap. High snap. Gets it down. Kicks up. It's not the distance. But it's off to the right. No good. Off to the right. And the Cats dodge a bullet.
That was a 43-yard attempt, Wes.
43-yard attempt. And 5:05 to go here. First quarter. Vikings leading 7-0. Cats will take over first and 10 from their 20. But let's take a 90-second break. You're listening to Lounge High Football on 99.5 Kicks Country. 5:05 to go here. First quarter. Vikings leading 7-0. It'll be the Cats' second possession. We just missed on a 43-yard field goal. And the red hat comes off the field, and we're ready to get started. In the backfield for the Cats, number 34, Philip Moore at tailback. Chad Train at fullback. Two tight ends. We're in a five-man front. Kyle Moore goes under center. Takes the snap. Gives it to Moore. Going around the right side. Gets hit as he crosses the 20 up to about the 21. And in on that tackle, Bill, was
number 25, Michael Mitchell. Just lays him out after barely a one-yard gain.
be second and nine. 4:48 to go, first quarter. 7-0, our Vikings lead off after a 70-yard touchdown Kyle Moore sends Harrison West to the far side. He then gives it to Moore, trying to go around the right side. He gets hit, and a good open field tackle bill by number 17.
Michael Copeland that time. Again, just trying to get on the outside with those defensive ends. Getting on the outside is going to be tough. Even getting in the middle is going to be tough.
In fact, he'll lose about half a yard, almost back to the 20. It'll be third and a long nine from there, 9.5. Ball on the far hash mark. Cats going from left to right on your radio dial. Inside, 4 minutes to go now. Dontavious Sapp comes to the near side. Jerome goes to far side. Drops back, looking to pass, looking downfield, getting chased. He's got some open territory, starts to run. Throws the ball downfield, tipped in the air. Intercepted by who? The Terminator. Kelvin Smith.
Got a flag, though, Wes.
Goes down the sidelines. They say he was out of bounds, Bill. Nope, they're calling him back. The official marked the spot, said he was out of bounds about the 26.5-yard line.
But we do have a flag on the play. Now, that'll be determined whether it was before the interception.
Personal foul, roughing the passer.
Oh, wow.
Against the Vikings. That will negate the interception.
Yep, and give them a first down after a 15-yard gain. The ball was tipped, but they are calling the personal foul of roughing the passer. I was watching downfield, so I didn't see the late what would be the late hit on the quarterback.
I didn't either. Did you see it, Marty?
Guys, I didn't. I was watching the ball myself.
All right, we got to come up with our assignments here. Somebody's got to keep watching the quarterback. We're gonna have to be like the officiating group. We'll just have our total assignments, so we'll know where to keep watching going forward. It's hard not to watch the ball, though.
15-yard penalty marked off against our Vikings all the way out to the 35-yard line. Ball on the far hash mark. Roughing the passer. Hit him after he threw the ball, and you can't hit him and knock him to the ground like that.
That negates that interception by Telvin Smith.
Rowe goes under center. Takes the snap. Gives it to Moore. Hit that. No, that's Mashawn Johnson. He gets hit as he crosses the 35 up to about the 36-yard line.
That was Ridge Spivey on a great tackle coming from his defensive tackle position. Just knocks him down right there about the time he gains just about a yard.
That'll give him 2 yards maybe. Second and eight. The ball out to the 36.5-yard line.
Three minutes now left. 3:06 in this first quarter. Our Vikings lead 7-0.
Rowe looking over to getting the play. Now Chad Brain brings it in. Rome goes to the far side. They put Odell James in the slot in the I formation. And they give it to Moore kind of around the right side. Now it's Hassan Johnson. Still on his feet, breaks one man, he's off to the races. Will we catch him as he heads to the corner? Yes, we will, and we'll run him out of bounds at the 23-yard line.
Greg Reed was our last line of defense as he broke through all the defensive tackles. Just a great heads-up run by the running back. You can't say enough. That's a great run, and he fought through all of the tackles. We didn't wrap up and bring him down. Greg Reed able to stop him right there about the 23-yard line.
That was Rashawn Johnson on the carry. Had we wrapped up back where he was. Send Sapp to the far side in the I formation.
Rome to this side.
You got Mitchell in the backfield now for the Cats. And it goes to the fullback.
And Little Bear had nothing to do with that now, and he just shut him down right at the line of scrimmage.
And that was number 23, Desmond Smith.
Again, number 57, Little Bear Simmons, just blew through the line, and he wrapped him up this time and laid him down. No gain on the play, 2nd and 10.
Guys, I just came down to the center of the field, and it's definitely a lot louder down here with our band and our students.
Oh, I'm sure.
Cats come to the line of scrimmage. J. Rome comes near side. They put a man in the slot. That's Sapp out of the I formation. Again, drops back. Moore looking across the middle and throws it at the feet of J. Rome as he was crossing the 5-yard line.
That was Dontavious Sapp, number 8, that he was throwing to. Looks like it got tipped right there about the line of scrimmage by the defense.
Third and 11, the ball back on the 24-yard line. We're inside 2 minutes to go here in the first quarter, but the Cats are threatening.
You got to have the defense step up here on a third and 10. Henry Harden comes out on this play. Probably going to go to that nickel formation. That's what it looks like.
Yep, we go to a four-man front.
Bring in Darius Howell as the defensive back.
Rome goes to the far side. They put Moore in the slot. Kyle Rowe in the shotgun. And he keeps Smith in the backfield with him. There's a snap. Drops back. Looking under pressure. Little screen, and it's no good. No good. Dropped by J. Rome. And now we'll see what the Cats go for it or attempt the field goal.
Wes, that was a great screen. They did a great job setting that screen up. Defensive line got through there, and they had a guy on each of our linebackers. If he'd have caught that, he might have picked up 8 or 10 yards.
Well, it's going to be 4th and 10. I can't see because of the crowd.
I don't think they're going to have a kicker.
They're going for it. Kyle Rowe goes under center. Sapp to one side. He's got Rome to our side. Moore at tailback. Takes the snap. Drops back. Looking to throw. High pass toward the end zone. Bill, I can't see it.
It's a touchdown. Number 8 in the back of the corner of the end zone over Tyler Hunter. Just a great lost pass by Kyle Rowe right over the top of Tyler Hunter. And Dontavious, that's number 8, Dontavious Sapp, catches it in the back corner of the end zone.
And on Stevenson on to attempt the extra point.
Valdosta gets a score.
Chad Brain to hold. There's a snap, ball's down, kicks up, and it's good. And with 1:27 to go in the first quarter, it's our Vikings 7. It is the Cats 7, and let's see.
Let's just take a 30-second
break. We'll take a 30-second break. You're listening to Lounge High Football on 99.5 Kicks Country.
Valdosta's home for Lounge High Viking Football. 99.5 Kicks Country.
Back at Faithmore Hyder Stadium, a minute 27 to go, first quarter, and it's all tied up.
That's a series we can look back on, and that personal foul on a third down interception by Telvin Smith is what kept that drive alive. And then one long pass, and then another pass into the end zone. And where I say, all tied up, 7-7.
Stevenson set to kick off. Little pooch kick. Take us by Marcus Solomon.
Darius
Howell. As he crosses, takes on 25 up to the 30. Gets almost to the 35, and they pull him down just a yard short at the 34-yard line.
Darius Howell gets us up pretty decent field position, about the 34-yard line. And the Vikings will take over here with a minute 20 left in the second quarter. And we got a TV timeout.
We'll take a 90-second break. You're listening to Lounge High Football on 99.5 Kicks Country.
Valdosta's home for Lounge High Viking Football. 99.5 Kicks Country.
Back at Faithmore Hyder Stadium, Vikings have the football. First and 10 from the 35. We'll give it to Greg Reed over the right side. He picks up 1 yard. That happened during the TV timeout. We just didn't get back in time.
2 yards.
Two yards, okay.
He's on the 34.
And we're inside. 1 minute to go. Ball on the far hash mark. Paget.
Got
to stop the clock.
Official timeout.
Something wrong with Reed's helmet. Now he gets it back on. Mikey L. Paget in and fullback. Tyler Hunter at wingback on the far side. Reed wingback on our side. Tied in to the home side. Four-man front by the Cats. Tyler Hunter in motion. Stops, goes back, gets his position. Now he's in motion again. Pitch out goes to Paget. Nope.
Keeper.
Franklin's got it. And, boy, what a hit in there by the Cats. That's number 92, Parker Mathis. It'll be third, Bill. We picked up a yard. It'll be 3rd and 7 from the 37-yard line.
Misdirection. Carey keeps the ball, tries to find that little bit of hole right up the middle.
Gerald Demps comes in. C.J. Moore brings the play in. And that's the end of the first quarter. We'll take a 60-second break. It's our Vikings 7, the Wildcats 7. We'll be back right after this 60-second break on the Lounge High Radio Network on 99.5 Kicks Country.
Valdosta's home for Lounge High Viking football. 99.5 Kicks Country.
Back at Baysmore Hyder Stadium, Wes James with Bill Osborne and Marty Rogers down on the sidelines. Marty, how is our coaches feeling about the fact the last two series we haven't moved the ball very well?
The sentiment down here on the sideline is that the offensive line, I heard them talking to the coach, talking to the offensive line during that long drive while ago, and they kept saying that they have to get off to the linebackers. The offensive linebackers are giving us a little trouble on the offensive side. Now, on the defensive side, they told him just keep up, keep on. I think they pretty much had him stopped last drive, but they missed some tackles. So they're really telling them to make sure they wrap up, and that's what they're really focusing on during that timeout just now.
Well, that's exactly what kind of one of the things we were looking at. They just missed those tackles when number 25, Deshaun Johnson, was able to make that long run. They just missed the tackles down there.
And you can't do that against a team like the Wildcats, because they have got some good speed back there on their side of the ball.
Well, the TV guy's still out there. We while we were away during the break between the quarters, that took a little extra time. So we'll keep it right here,
guys. While we got a second, I want to say hello to my little brother Rodney Ponder, who's home hopefully listening tonight. He didn't have a ticket, so he's sitting in the house listening to the game.
Well, that's your little brother. That's part of the Big Brother, Big Sister program, isn't it?
That is correct. He's been my little brother for about 4 years, and he's actually a student at J.L. Newbern. But, of course, with my allegiance to Lounge, he's somewhat of a fan of both. And, of course, he comes with me to Locos a lot for that coaching show on Tuesday night. But I know he's home listening. Rodney, I hope you're having a good night.
Well, Rodney, we're sorry you couldn't make it to the game, but we'll try and keep you up. And we'll take care of Marty down there.
We've got a 3rd and 7 from the 37-yard line. Vikings changed into the field. Heavy going from left to right on your radio dial. Darius Howell goes to the far side. Tight end to Irish to the far side. Gerald Denson in motion there. Tyler Hunter drops back, looking to pass. Stop, throws the ball downfield, looking for Darius Howell. Just off his fingertips into Wildcat territory at the 45-yard line. Incomplete pass, and we'll have to punt for the first time tonight.
Well, the coverage was downfield, and Tyler Hunter rolling out, trying to roll the pocket. Darius Howell trying to get open, and actually Tyler did a good job. He threw it in the only place that he could, and that was down low and away, and giving his receiver, the only guy, the opportunity to catch the pass.
Hayden Martin standing back about our 23-yard line. Back deep is number 10, James Eunice, and number 8, Dontavious Sapp. And there goes the flag for too many men, illegal substitution, too many men on the field.
Not quite enough for a first down, though, Wes.
Nope.
We needed about 6 or 7 yards for a first down.
Now we needed 7. We'll get 5. We'll be 2 yards short. It'll be 4th and 2. And punt team still on the field. Sapp goes back deep. Chad Crane comes in back with Sapp. Hayden now will move up to about the 30-yard line. Sapp and Crane drop back around the 25. 5-man rush for the Cats. There's a snap. Nice high, high kick. And Sapp. Did he signal? I thought he signaled for
a catch. Signal fair catch. That was number 8, Dontavious Sapp. And when he turned around to catch the ball, Q-tip the Terminator Smith, able to just lay him out.
At the 15-yard line, one hand come up. I thought he was going to signal a fair catch, but he hit him at the 15.
Great ball came, by Hayden Martin as well.
Ball came out, but they said that he was already down. So 1st and 10 from the Cats at their own 15-yard line. Just underway here in the second quarter. I'd like to say hello to April Dunn listening tonight, watching on TV, could not get a ticket. So she's watching on TV, but listening on the radio.
All right, Wes.
Harrison West goes far side. Two tight ends for the Cats. Row under center goes down, pitches the option out. Ball's on the ground. They're going for it. And they say he was down. They say that number 25, that is Vyshawn Johnson, he dropped the ball and said he recovered it at the 1-yard line.
Great job now. The Vikings have them backed up right at their goal line. Second down and about 20 for the Wildcats. 24, second and 24.
You hear the crowd chanting, defense, now they come to their feet.
Wes has got to get up on the step.
And they go right up the middle.
That's Kyle Rowe, tries to bring it up through the middle.
And he'll get absolutely nowhere.
Finally, the whistle blows. They kept it alive. Kyle Rowe was on top of the pile. And, of course, he wasn't down yet, so they didn't blow the whistle. But they're going to mark him out. They gave him about a half yard.
After the one-and-a-half-yard line, it'll be third and 23 to go from there. 10:35 to go here in the first half, all tied up, seven apiece. I'd like to know what's going on over in Coffee County tonight.
Well, we'll get some numbers here soon.
They're yelling at the officials about something.
The clock's running. It ought to be a delay of game with all the time that they're...
And they just run people on and off the field that did not call a legal substitution.
Well, they had not broke the huddle yet.
Yep, there comes the flag. There comes the flag.
Delay
of games. Okay. Whether it's going to be a legal substitution or a delay of game, this will go on. Either one's a five-yard penalty, and it's only going to be half the distance.
That'll kind of put them right back where they were, just with the nose of the ball almost on the goal line.
Third and 23. Sapp comes near side. Rome goes the far side. Rowe in the shotgun, standing about 7 yards deep in the end zone. And he's going to quick kick it high. Get out of the way, fellas.
Get out of the way.
Ball hits at the 20, bounces back, and goes out of bounds about the 13-yard line, Bill.
Wes, you got to say that particular play backfired. What they wanted to do was catch us unaware on a quick kick, get it out of the end zone, get it downfield, and the kick went straight up in the air, and when it did wedge in, it rolled backwards, and the Vikings now have it first and 10 from the 12-yard line.
Ball on the far hash mark, 9:42 to go here in the first quarter, in the first half. There goes the Mayflower Moving Company, the return trip. Thomas Rump goes to the far, Jordan Black to the tight end. We got Darius Howell on this side.
Along with
Tyler Hunter in the slot.
Guys, I know you couldn't tell from other
guys. Oh, look at here, Bill. Here goes the old Notre Dame box. The single wing, as we like to call it with Greg Reed. Going to take a direct snap. He does. Starts to run. Cuts back inside. Hit. Still on his feet. There's a face mask. There comes the flag on the face mask.
I was afraid we might have got a little bit of movement there from Anderson. But Greg's telling Anderson, I got to get that block. But we got the 15-yard penalty on the face mask. What do you have down there, Marty?
Marty.
Yeah, yes, sir. Hey, guys, I was going to tell you just then, I don't know if y'all could tell, but right after that change of possession, Coach Mack was on the field, extremely fired up, and telling his team, punch this ball in the end zone.
That's going to be... a half a distance to the goal line. I'll take it down to looks
first
like about
goal.
The first and goal from the 7 yard line. There comes Darius Howell.
No,
DJ Moore.
I'm sorry, Wes. Because of where it is, it's going to be first down, but you can still get another first down about the two. You see where the fly? You can't see from where your angle.
Okay.
But the first down markers are still up. All right, here we go. Still with Greg Reed in at quarterback.
Yep, that's first and goal from the 7.
He tells the band to be quiet, and the band is quiet.
Reed takes a direct snap, goes left, looking for a hole in the middle, cuts back inside, slips, falls, still on his feet, jumps across the goal line, touchdown Vikings!
Wait a minute, no signal. There is no signal from the official. They're saying he's at the 1.
No way!
Oh my goodness, I really thought he had jumped into the end zone. But it's first and goal inside the 1 yard line, Wes.
Well, you were right, Bill. I thought it was first and goal from the 7.
No, so it's first and goal inside the 1 yard line. I thought Greg Reed had just jumped into the end zone. Now it looks like Kari Franklin comes in at quarterback.
And we're going to run. There comes Gerald Dempson. We're going to be running. We've got two tight ends, Thomas Rumpson. They're going to call timeout.
Timeout.
With that, with 8:40 to go here, the clock's still running. Nope, there it goes. We'll take a 30-second break. All tied up, 7-7. But the Vikings are threatening a 30-second break. You're listening to Lounge High Football on 99.5 Kix Country.
Kix Country.
Yeah.
Faithmore Hyder Stadium, Wes James along with Bill Osborne, the wild man, the wild Bill Osborne. Marty Rogers on the sidelines. It will be second and goal, the ball about the six-inch line. There come the Mayflower Moving Company, the return trip. Greg Reed in the backfield along with Robert Anderson. Jordan Black, Thomas Rump, two tight ends. Kent in a six-man front. Four linebackers up tight. Franklin goes under center. He sees Greg to the wing back. Mark drops Gerald Dempse back in the backfield. Gets it to Gerald around the left side. Gets hit at the goal line. Is he in? Yes, touchdown Vikings.
I see you, Gerald Dempse. Gerald just muscled his way over the left side of the line to get into the end zone. Vikings now up 13-7, and Mark Willis, Jackson Dalton, and Cole Parker check into the lineup for the Vikings.
Mark Willis, like I say, on to attempt the extra point. Cole Parker to hold. Waiting on the snap. There it is. Ball down. Kicks up, and it's good. And with 8:31 to go here in the first half, it's the Vikings 14, the Wildcats 7. Let's take a 30-second break. A 30-second break. You're listening to Lounge Line Football.
Let's go 60. TV guys, go.
Oh, okay, TV guys out there. We'll take a 60-second break. You're listening to Lounge Line Football on 99.5 Kicks Country.
Valdosta's home for Lounge High Viking Football. 99.5 Kicks Country.
Back at Faithmore Hyder Stadium, 8:31 to go, first half. Vikings lead it 14-7 on a 6-inch, 1-yard run, whatever you want to call it, by Gerald Dempse to put us up 14-7. Mark Willis on to kick off, going back deep for the Cats. His number 8, Dontavious Sapp. Also back deep is number 6, Michael Gilt. Number 5, that's Willie Graham. And on the far side, number 28 is Terry Belcher.
Well, the Vikings capitalize on a mistake by the Wildcats.
Over to our side of the field, third and short. Franklin takes notes. Hunter with the snap. Gives the ball to Reed around the right side. He's across the 40. The 35, the 30. It's a foot race down the sidelines. And
we lost it.
We can't see. We can't see when we go around. Bill.
West, Bill, can you hear me, guys? You guys what?
Don't have anything at all.
You guys are on air.
You are coming in fine.
We're on
okay,
air.
We're on air. We'll just keep it here.
Dang it.
Well, Greg Reed was run out of bounds at the 12.
Sorry about that, Marty. Wes pushed a button up here.
We couldn't hear anything at all. I was trying to see out. Chip Osborne standing in the way, so I can't see out Roger Christie in front of him.
Well, I can hear you fine. Y'all were still coming through the whole time.
Greg, hit the barbed wire fence from the band, please.
So... well, it's time to find out if this is going to work.
It's going to work. Hold on. Just wait. I got it from up here. Let's see.
There we go. Stick my head out the press box. We got a TV timeout.
Well, the band, you know, has in their show, they have these little rolling chain link fence. And that's what Greg hit when he rolled out of bounds here. I'm not sure to the level of that, whether he's just tangled up in it or whether there's truly an injury. Greg Reed, though, got pushed out of bounds on a great run about the 11-yard line, almost the 12. It'll be first down and 10 when the Vikings do take back to the field. The band, there's not a lot of sideline room here at Baysmore Hyder Stadium, and the band has completely filled the sideline over there. Still can't see. They brought paramedics over now. Wes Taylor's over there along with the officials.
Guys, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. What you got?
There is a Wildcat player down. It appears that he did come off and get caught up in the band. Our band is on the side of the field with the fence, and there is a Wildcat player that they're tending to right now.
So it's okay. A Wildcat fan player, not Greg Reed. That's what we heard.
That is correct. It's a Wildcat player.
Okay, so either way, you hate that for any player to get kind of wrapped up in this stuff. There's not a lot of room on that sideline, is there, Marty?
No. There's not a lot of room at all, and with the band getting ready to go out for halftime, and, of course, their props, it even shrinks the room that is there, which is not much.
We might get a prop rule next year that neither bands might not be able to be allowed to have props.
The officials just pulled Wes Taylor out onto the field and asked him if there was any way to get them moved back and moved out of the way.
Wes, I got an updated score from over in Coffee from our friend Hubby Brooks. Coffee is 7, Northside 3.
What? And what quarter?
Don't have a quarter listing. Let me see what he's got. He just got Coffee 7, Northside 3 in the second quarter.
Marty.
So thank you, Mr. Hubby Brooks. We appreciate it.
Mark, yes.
We got just got a report. Now, are you down on that end of the field?
I am.
Right there, I see him.
Okay, because they were saying they thought it was a deputy that was down.
No, there is a Wildcat player. I've made visual confirmation of that.
Well, I did see Coach Tomberlin go over that side, too, so I would indicate that one of his players is down.
Yes, Pipolo was in there with them.
Possibly a number 24.
That would be Jonathan Mitchell. Jonathan Mitchell for Valdosta.
What would you see? Did you see a number there, Marty?
I could not. There's so many people around him, and they kind of got it wiped off. I could not, but I will keep trying.
Okay.
Well, we just got a report from some folks that they saw that it was number 24. Tell you what, let's take a 60-second break. 3:33 to go here in the first half. Vikings leading 14-7, but threatening again at the 11-yard line. A 60-second break. You're listening to Lounge High Football on 99.5. Kicks Country.
You're listening to Lounge High Viking Football on 99.5 Kicks Country.
Back here at Bazemore Hyder Stadium, Bill Osborne, Wes James, and Marty Rogers down on the sideline. Had a little incident. The Vikings do lead right now 14-7, 3:33 left in the half. But we've had a player for the Wildcats run into some of the props for the Georgia Bridgemen, which if you've seen the Georgia Bridgemen live, what they have are fence portions, and the player got wrapped up in that chain link fence. What you got for us, Marty?
All right, Bill, Wes, I just got up there, and what they're telling me is his helmet is actually stuck on the tire that is connected to this chain link fence as part of the Lounge High halftime show.
So the player is okay.
They're telling him not to move, but from all indications, there's not a lot of panic on the people's. It doesn't appear that he's actually hurt at this point. It is number 24. I did confirm that.
Okay.
But it does appear that he is.
He's
just stuck, can't get off.
Well, they're talking to Mr. Todd now. The official is about where they're located on the field. So thank you, Marty. I appreciate, you know, it's great to have somebody down there on the sideline. His helmet is just stuck on the tires that roll that,
can't move it.
That petition
he's
out.
Okay.
Well, I tell you what, I can't tell if they're moving him quite a bit. Wes, let's take another 60-second break, and when we come back, maybe we'll be just about ready to put this thing back on the field. You're listening to the Lounge High Radio Network on 99.5 Kicks Country.
Valdosta's home for Lounge High Viking Football. 99.5 Kicks Country.
Hyder Stadium, where the Vikings lead the Wildcats 14-3 with 3:33 left in the first half. We've had a delay in the game now as one of the Wildcat players was pushed out of bounds during the long run by Greg Reed. And indications are, and information from the television replay was that he hit the wheel and maybe knocked himself out.
Can you hear me, guys?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, he is off the tire now. He is unattached, but they are bringing the board out. He has got feeling. He is moving. He is responding. But I just think at this point they're taking every precaution and going to put him on the board to get him off the field.
Yeah, rightfully so. If he was knocked out, you want to be really cautious about that. Anytime that you got a knock to the head, the brain, you know, you just don't know what that is, a concussion, all kinds of things. And then, of course, Wade was wedged in there on the tire. You want to be really careful about his neck and so forth. So,
that's correct, guys. Some of the guys that said they saw it said that when he hit, that the tire went between his face, and then, of course, his momentum carried him around, so he spun around.
Wow.
But again, he is responding. He does appear to be moving, but they're keeping him still and taking every precaution.
Well, and that's as they should. But you hate this in any kind of ball game, but it kills momentum. And, of course, we're more worried about the young man and make sure that he's okay. But I know it for him, you don't want to be knocked out of this ball game, of any ball game of all. You do see the gurney now being rolled out down the sideline. Again, like Marty said, every precaution just to make sure that he's okay. all the players for the Vikings move over to the side, come off the sidelines to give them plenty of room. Coach Pete Blow, the trainer for Lowndes, down at that side as well.
And Bill, on a lighter note, the Lowndes High public address announcer, Steve Sains, is pulling some double duty tonight.
He's up there with the ESPN boys.
He is their official spotter tonight.
There you go. Well, he knows the players of all people. He can point them out for him. Steve Sains has done a great job. Of course, took over last year as the public address announcer, and now his second year in the position. And he's kind of brought his own style to it. A lot of people missed the old public address announcer last from several years. Of course, we all always mention Hubby Brooks. And Hubby's been a lot of help to us for a lot of different times. He was one who passed on the scores from Northside and Conference.
Well, I've got a question for you. I've been meaning to ask you for the last couple of years.
What's that?
You were Hubby's right-hand man.
Yep.
And looking back when Hubby...
Do I regret this move? Oh, my God, every day. No, I'm just kidding.
Actually,
what really happened about 4 years ago, Wes, he could never keep a color guy. He just, the color commentators just couldn't work with Wes. So he had an opening 4 years ago, and he asked me about leaving his position there with the public address. And I told Hubby if he wanted to go do it, we take over and do the public address. And I'd been kind of interning under him for the last couple of 3 years before then. And he was the one who said, no, I really don't want to do it. I want to keep doing this. But if you want somebody good, you can go ahead and take Wild Bill. And I said, well, I was a little nervous.
You weren't, well, you know, well, actually, you know, I asked Hubby, he said, you know, if you don't want to, you know, would you like to do this? And he says, no. I said, well, could you recommend somebody? And he said, I hate to lose him, but this guy right here.
Yep.
And so you set in for the first game and been here ever since?
I'm telling you, I was really nervous. I never told you this, but I probably spent that whole week leading up when I knew that I was going to be there with the headsets on a Friday night at Martin Stadium. I didn't really know what to do. I started, I guess, at night and driving different places. I would just kind of go through some of the things I might say and how to actually go about it. But you know what the most amazing thing is? That it's just a natural thing. You're just sitting here and you're talking. You do a really good job with the folks that you interview because they're a little nervous when they get on the headsets too. And we tell them all the time, just having a conversation about football. And that's truly what we do.
And that's all it's about. And I was going to ask you, you know, looking back, you could have been the public address announcer.
It's all right.
How would you rather do this?
I am fully entrenched in being the color commentator for Lowndes High football. Lowndes High baseball, and of course we picked up Lowndes High basketball last year, and every one of them, I just absolutely enjoy every minute of it. I get to spend time with these kids and get to see them develop, and so many of them I've seen for so long play them down at the boys club level, middle school level, and it's just a lot of fun to watch these kids develop and really become superstars. I remember watching Greg Reed play on the team called the Cowboys for the boys club, and Greg had all those moves when he was 7 and 8. He's just gotten bigger now, and he put him on a bigger field. But Greg Reed was a tremendous talent even back then when I watched him during that time. I believe his team beat my team several times.
And of course, along with all of that, 2 years a year ago, we decided to form our own little company, the Viking Voice LLC, and acquired the rights to Lowndes basketball and baseball, and. It's been
a lot of fun. We've developed a website. Of course, if you're listening, if you've not been to our website, it's www.thevikingvoice.com. That's T-H-E, vikingvoice.com. We have all the stats during football season. We keep the year-to-date stats during baseball season. We have box scores during basketball. We have the scores as well as standings and where we're going to be and when we're going to be on the air. So we try to keep you up to date with what's going on at Lowndes High School, all of the sports. Of course, we have the softball page, and congratulations to Coach Dickey and his girls, the Region 1-5A champions this year in fast pitch softball, and they're in the region playoffs. They won their first two games, were rained out yesterday, and I know they were in Cordial again today, but I haven't heard any scores about how well they did today or if they were able to play. But do want to thank you. I appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun doing the Viking Voice. Do want to remind everybody as well, too, that you can always catch us here on Kicks Country 99.5 during the football season. And if you can't get us on the radio, you can always get them on the Internet. And you click on the Listen Live. It's www.kickscountry. That's KIXCountry.FM.
And
I tell you what, Wes, we'll take us.
Before we do that, let's remind everybody of the Lounge Eye Coaches Show at Loco's Deli and Pub on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Shotgun Charlie Walker is always there at 6. And we usually get there at 6:15 or so, and coaches start showing up about 6:30, quarter to 7, and we go on the air at 7 o'clock with Coach Mack and always review what happened in this ball game and then look ahead to the next week's opponent. Of course, next week's going to be, it's the night, the one night that I look forward to of all the nights, and that's senior night when he brings the seniors in and we get a chance to talk with them for just a little bit. And if you can't be there in person, you can stop by. I mean, you can listen on 99.5 Kicks Country.
But I tell you, too, come out there because you get a 10% discount if you're there to listen to the coach's show. And it's great food at Loco's Deli and Pub. They have some of the best burgers around, the Redneck Burger. They have, what's the thing they got here most recently? They have fried
ravioli.
My goodness, that is some good stuff, the fried ravioli with marinara sauce. Come out there on Tuesday night. The coach's show kicks off at 7 o'clock. Get there early at 6, grab something to eat, and you'll enjoy yourself.
And I've been told that my diet must change eating at Loco's. I can no longer have the fried ravioli and the chunky cheese fries. I've got to have things like grilled stuff.
Okay, well, Wes, I tell you what, the player's up, and they got him on the gurney. The gurney in the ambulance. The ambulance had backed up here right up to where the incident happened. And we hope that this young man, number 24, Jonathan Mitchell, is all okay, and we'll wish him the best and offer our prayers to him. I tell you what, while we're cleaning all this up, let's take another 60-second break, and when we get back, we'll be ready to just about put this back on the field. You're listening to the Lounge High Radio Network on 99.5 Kicks Country.
Valdosta's home for Lounge High Viking football. 99.5 Kicks Country.
And we're back at Bazemore Hyder Stadium. Still 3:33 left in the first half. The Vikings lead 14-7. And, of course, they were driving at the on a long run by Greg Reed. Brought him down to the Wildcat 12-yard line. But a little bit of an accident here. We had one of the Wildcat players rolled into some of the props for the Georgia Bridgemen, which includes partitions of chain-link fence. And they're run on these little wheels. And the player, we think number 24, that's Jonathan Mitchell, just got rolled into it, and his helmet hit one of the wheels, and his helmet got stuck on the wheel. Now, we've been told that he may have even been knocked out when he hit the wheel. And, of course, he's wedged in there. His neck probably turned a little bit funny. And, of course, taking every precaution, they bring out the backboard, bring out the ambulance. They feel like that he is, Marty's reported that he did respond and seemed to be okay, but again, taking every precaution. Anything new down there, Marty? Marty down just beyond the ambulance. I don't know if he can hear us. Go ahead, Marty.
Guys, right now they've got Greg Reed actually up there speaking to him.
Oh, good. Okay, Greg's
giving him talk because I guess they went out together. Greg, actually, I spoke with him, and he actually hit the fencing as well. But he said he saw it in time to grab a hold of it and kind of keep himself off of it, where unfortunately the other guy did not.
And it was number 24, right, Jonathan Mitchell?
Correct.
Not number 34, one that's been Philip Moore, been their running back. So.
No, it was number 24.
Okay. Well, of course, we want to wish him the best and offer him and his family our prayers. And we thought that might be off the field by now with the ambulance, but they're still in the back. And, of course, if Greg's taking some time to talk to him. Everybody picks on Greg sometimes. If you spend any time on any of the sports events or anything like that, Greg's been criticized week after week after week about being a showboat or just not having a lot of class. But I tell you, Greg Reed is a class act, and he cares about his teammates. He cares about the people he plays against. Now, he gets fired up, and he plays as hard as he can play and with a lot of emotion. But when a situation like this, I know that that he's concerned. The young man's mother just walked down the field. Now she's climbed into the ambulance with her son.
Our Vikings starting to stretch just a little bit. And 3:33 to go here in the half. Vikings lead it 14-7. We've had, and we'll recap some of the stuff for you at halftime. We've had two interceptions negated by penalties. And two, and both of those interceptions were long returns that could have possibly set up scores. Last we heard, it was 7-3, Coffee over Northside in the second quarter playing at Coffee. Don't have any other scores from around the region tonight. The ambulance still is, I don't see.
Well, the door is still open on the side. Like I said, we saw Mitchell's mother go into the side door.
And I'll tell you what, while we're doing this, let's go ahead and take one more 60-second break. You are listening to Lounge High Football on 99.5 Kicks Country.
Valdosta's home for Lounge High Viking football. 99.5 Kicks Country.
All righty, folks, back at Bazemore Hydro. The ambulance has just headed off the field, and let's see.
I was noticing that Mr. Taylor, of course, having to defend our band with their props and so forth on the sideline as close as they were. The principal from Valdosta and he were I won't say a heated discussion. That's probably not the right, but you could tell there were some issues with the Valdosta principal. He was a little disappointed that we had those kind of props that close to the playing field. Wes, it's time to start playing football again.
It sure is. 3:33 to go here in the first half. Vikings lead it 14-7. First and 10 from the 11-yard line. The Mayflower Moving Company to the line of scrimmage. Corey Franklin at quarterback. Gerald Demps in the backfield along with Greg Reed. Michael Pageant at fullback. We send C.J. Moore to the far side. There's a snap from Franklin. He pitches out to Reed around the right side. Cuts back inside. One man, two.
Jeez.
Still on his feet around West Hill. Oh, he finally gets dragged down back at the 17-yard line.
Number 28, that was Terry Belcher, just stayed at home and got Greg Reed around the feet. Greg, as he went around the right side, reverse field, and just like we've seen him do so many times, almost able to break loose. But Belcher, the only guy there, grabs him around the ankle and brings him down for a loss.
Second and 17, the ball all the way back out to the 19-yard line. Thomas Rump brings the play in. Ball now moves to the far side of the field. Vikings going from left to right on your radio dial. This happened last week against Northside. Greg tried to break something and just wasn't there. Rump goes to the far side. Jordan Black tied into the near side. Reed wing back to far side. Pageant at fullback. Gerald Demps wing back on our side. Reed in motion towards us. Takes a pitch out and gives it to Pageant right up the middle. And Pageant.
Card keeps that one, I think.
Nope, that was Pageant with the ball. And Pageant, he'll pick up maybe 2 yards. It'll be third and probably 15 from there.
It looked like we had the hole right there in the middle, but it collapsed very quickly as soon as Pageant tried to go through it. Third down now. Crowd gets up. You hear it in the background.
Parker Mathis, the defensive tackle, that anchors that front four for the catch in on that tackle. His right foot, Bill, heavily taped tonight. C.J. Moore comes on their side. Jordan Black to the far side. Franklin. Got Reed in motion towards us. Takes the snap, drops back, rolls right, looking to pass. There comes pressure from the backside. Stump pulls up. He'll be hit. The ball's on the ground. The ball is on the ground.
Lots of people grabbing for it. It's going to be fourth down.
Demp fell on it right in front of me, guys, but he did get it.
Wow.
It was a Viking ball.
Marty, I've got to say, buddy, you get yourself in the right position.
Reminds me when I went to the sidelines for the Blazers, Marty. Good job.
Guys, one thing, too, there's a lot of little extracurricular activities on that play, so things starting to get a little spirited again.
Well, Mark Willis is looks like he's going to put it down about the 29-yard line.
Be a 39-yard attempt from the right hash mark. Inside, 1 minute now to go.
This should fit right into where Mark's normal swing is.
There's a snap. Ball's down. Kicks up. And I can't tell from here.
No good. Straight out to the right just a little bit.
That's the second field goal Mark Willis has missed tonight. And the Cats will take over first and 10 from their 24-yard line, trailing 14-7 with inside 1 minute to go.
Mark Willis had plenty of leg on it. It just stayed out to the right a little bit. I know he normally will swing across that and push it, so he probably didn't want to push it too far and just overcompensated.
Kyle Rowe, the quarterback for the Cats.
Vikings cling to a 14-7 lead with 53 seconds left here in the first half.
Moore and Odell James go to the far side. Tight end, two tight ends for the Cats. Rowe with the ball, gives it now to Mitchell. Mitchell across the 25 to 30, still on his feet as he crosses the 30 and gets up to about the 31, 32-yard line. First down for the Cats. I'm sorry, that's LaShawn Johnson. LaShawn Johnson on the carry. First and 10, and they say at the 34. Clock's running. Rome and James go far side, tied into the far side. There's a snap, and again they give it to LaShawn Johnson. He spins, turns, he's across the 40, still on his feet. As he gets out to about the 45-yard line, Bill, that'll be another first down, and it'll stop the clock with 26 seconds to go.
As the break in the action definitely changed the momentum of this game. Our sideline was extremely loud and spirited before the break, and of course after the break everything's been kind of quiet and somber. Now the momentum has definitely changed.
Cats take a timeout. 26 seconds to go. We lead it 14-7. Ball out to the 45-yard line, and I guarantee you our defensive coaches are not happy at this point in time. We had first and 10 from the 11-yard line and then missed a 39-yard field goal attempt. We did that last week against Northside, and the ball at the 17. They're announcing some of the middle school scores. Bill, are you still doing the PA for the...
I'm doing some. We had a game the junior varsity played that was against Coffee yesterday, and they won 34-0. That game cut short. I was going to mention, I've seen that ambulance one too many times, actually twice, since yesterday.
I was going to ask you what happened yesterday. We will right after we come back from this.
All right, 26 seconds. Vikings lead 14-7, and the Cats have the ball.
Two receivers far side. Rowe goes under center. We're in a five-man front. Now we shift to the right side of the field. Long, hard count. We don't move. Rowe keeps the ball, flicking the pass, looks downfield, throws across the middle. Catch made there by number 11, Jay Rome, for the first down into Viking territory, down at the 42-yard line. Good. Timeout called with 17.8 seconds to go.
Good catch by Jay Rome and a great throw by Kyle Rowe. That ball way down low, and Rome reaches down underneath and able to make the catch, and a great catch.
We'll take a 30-second break. You're listening to Lounge High Football on 99.5 Kicks Country.
The Vikings play here. 99.5 Kicks Country.
Back at Bazemore Hyder Stadium, Wes James, Bill Osborne, Marty Rogers on the sidelines. 17.8 seconds to go, and the Cats are threatened. Took over first and 10 on their 20, and in two plays, they've gone from the 20 down to our 40-yard line. Rowe goes under center, brings Jay Rome wide out to our side of the field. Rome drops back, looks, throw, looking for Rome, throws downfield, picking on Tyler Hunter. Ball up in the air, and in and out of the hands of Rome, knocked away by Tyler Hunter. Good coverage back there.
Rome had to turn into the defensive back because Tyler Hunter had a good line on it, and he reached out to try and get it. Rome has to knock it away.
Guys, he sure did, and Tyler played that ball perfectly, and actually, again, right here in front of me, and me and the guys around me certainly felt like Rome had a little bit of a push off there, but wasn't called.
All right. So we're down to 11.1 seconds here in the half. Vikings still lead 14-7.
Rome goes far side. Sapp comes near side, and he brings Tim Keir with him. Rowe in the shotgun. He keeps Justin Williams back. He throws out in the flats. In and out of the hands of Sapp at the 40-yard line with 7.5 seconds to go.
Yeah, but Telvin Smith was right on his back pocket, and had he caught it, Telvin was fixing to lay him out.
It'll be 3rd and 10. The ball at the 41-yard line.
Well, this game, with this kind of emotion and intensity, you wouldn't expect anything less leading right up to the half here.
Wes, Bill, I was going to remind you, I'm down here in this end zone to try to catch McPherson coming off the field at the half.
All right, we'll stay with you.
Something we almost forgot last week.
Yep, we'll stay with you.
Rome comes near side. Sapp goes far side. Rowe in the shotgun with two backs on either side, well, back on either side of him, and there goes the flag.
That was it. Let's see. We got substitution or...
Offsides.
Somebody had to have lined up or either two people in motion. But from the looks of it, offsides on the offense, and maybe it lined up in the neutral zone. So third down and 15 now for the Wildcats with 7.5 seconds left here in the first half.
We're in a four-man front. Seven defensive backs. Throw in the shotgun. Takes a snap, drops back. Pumps, looks, throws downfield, looking for a snap. Ball up in the air, intercepted by Greg Reed.
Greg Reed with the interception over number eight, Dontavious Sapp, and the Vikings dodge a bullet and will take over first and 10 from our own 10-yard line with just under a second left in the half.
Nine-tenths of a second, and I imagine you'll see Kari Franklin just kneel down, and we'll go to the locker room with a seven-point lead here at halftime.
Coaches now begin to work their way down to the field to go ahead and go into the locker room. I believe you're right. Well, I don't know. We set a wide formation. Going to give it a shot or maybe just try a run play, see if anything opens up.
Catch on a four-man front, three linebackers. And he kneels down, let it runs out. And we go to halftime with our Vikings leading 14-7 in the 2007-2008 version of the Wintersville Classic, the Smackdown in Titletown. Let's take a three-minute break. A three-minute break. You're listening to Lions High Football on 99.5 Kicks Country.